And welcome to another message from Grace Church at Franklin, here in Franklin, Tennessee, 4052 Arno Road. We're just glad you tuned in today, that you are listening or watching this broadcast. Grace Church at Franklin has been around for about 50 years. The Lord has blessed us immensely. And wherever you are, we'd like to invite you to come and worship with us if you're in the Nashville, Tennessee area. To contact us if you have any questions about God's Word or any of these messages. We want to do you good and try to glorify the Lord. Today I'm going to be speaking to you from the book of Proverbs, an unusual passage. I'm going to read it two or three times, and so I'll go ahead and read it to begin this message. It's Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, and it is verse 2. This is what it says. As the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. Now Solomon has a lot to say about fools in this chapter. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. And as I say, he has a lot to say about fools in this chapter. I once taught on the subject from this chapter, how to avoid becoming a fool. We considered the wise man and the fool from the perspective of the incongruities of life, that is, the inconsistencies of life, the paradoxes, the mysteries of life, the things that don't often make sense. And we found that wise men are often fools, and that fools can sometimes appear to be wise. For example, we read here in verse 1 in this chapter, chapter 26 of Proverbs, as snow in summer and as rain in the harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. In other words, honoring and praising a fool is as inconsistent and crazy as snow in July or praying for rain at harvest time. And then again, Solomon says in verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like unto him. And then what he's saying here is trying to give advice, trying to give a wise answer to a foolish question is itself utterly foolish, and it makes a fool out of a wise man. Then once again, in verse 6, Solomon says, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. That is, sending a fool on an important errand is equivalent to cutting off your own feet and then trying to deliver the message yourself, or going to court and actually hoping you are sued for damage. You might as well cut off your own feet as to expect a fool to faithfully deliver an important message. You might as well go to court, hoping and praying that you will lose the case, and in losing the case, lose lots of money, as to trust a fool. Now, this should give you an idea of the context of this portion of Scripture. The verse I would like to spend a few minutes on today is the verse I read earlier. And it's part of Solomon's thought pattern here as the Spirit of the Lord inspired him to write. Let me read it again. It's Proverbs chapter 26, and it's verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. So Solomon, in his wisdom, has observed that curses are like flying birds. They don't come without a cause. Curses don't come without a cause. Most curses are like a wandering bird. Literally, it says sparrows. Most curses are like sparrows or flying swallows. They just fly by. they don't light on you or anyone near you. And when a wandering sparrow or a flying swallow does light on the ground, it is for a particular reason or purpose. Now, the English Standard Version translates this verse this way. It says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. So Solomon has observed that curses are like flying birds. They don't come without a cause. There's a cause for a bird lighting on the ground, and there's a cause for every curse. The curse, causeless, does not come. Although there is a reason for every curse, we often don't know what it is. Many, in fact, I would say most persons speak of being lucky or being unlucky. How many times have we heard someone on the news who escaped a tornado or a hurricane say, well, I was just lucky? The newscaster would say, he or she was so lucky to have escaped that storm or that wreck or that catastrophe. That's what we often hear people say. Now, let me ask you this. When was the last time you heard someone say, I escaped by the grace of God? Or when asked a question, how did you get out of that? When's the last time you heard somebody say something like this, the Lord spared me? No, people will tell you very quickly that the Lord had nothing whatsoever to do with the storm or the hurricane or the flood or this coronavirus we are all battling. They'll tell you very quickly the Lord has nothing to do with it. And of course, since the Lord had nothing to do with the cause of the problem, he had nothing to do with the escape from the problem. No, what we often hear is, I was just lucky. But my friend, listen to me now. There is no such animal. There is no such thing as luck. Believe me, if you have escaped this virus up to this present time, it is because the Lord has passed you by. Just as when the death angel went through the land of Egypt and passed over certain houses and families, the houses that had blood on them, the houses that had slain a lamb in obedience to the word of the Lord, just as the angel of death passed over certain houses, certain families, but went into others. So he has passed you and me by this time. It is because in his divine providence and absolute control of all things in this world, that he has been pleased to spare you and to spare me. Believe me, you haven't been lucky or unlucky. You have been blessed. You have been delivered by the Lord. I know this because, as we are learning here from Proverbs 26:2, there is a cause behind every blessing. And there is a cause behind every curse. The curse, causeless, shall not come, and the blessing, causeless, shall not come. Now, the meaning of the Hebrew word for causeless here technically is defined as undeserved. Now, in the Old English, this doesn't speak of the person, but of the event. In the Old English, when the King James Version was translated, which is what I'm reading from, when certain things lined up and the end result came about, did they say the end was deserved because of the certain things that happened? Suppose you got up at 8 o'clock and by 8:15 you walked out of the house and by 8:20 you were at a certain point on the way to work and at 8:35 you were at a certain point and you saw a certain accident, or you were involved in a certain accident, you weren't unlucky. There's a series of events, both from your perspective and the other person's perspective that you are all involved in. The curse, the problem, the trouble does not come without a cause. So Solomon is not saying that a person escapes the curse because he or she deserves to escape it, but because a series of events did not line up in such a way as to bring that problem, to bring that trouble, to bring that what he calls curse. And now, as with any verse in the Bible, there may be more than one way to understand it. And I'm going to give you two interpretations. I'm going to suggest two ways to interpret Proverbs 26:2, and I believe that both of them are true. Number one, this verse teaches that the curse that comes has a cause on our part. Generally, we are our own worst enemy. You remember old Pogo? Some of you do, old enough to remember Pogo the possum in the comic section of the newspaper. He said famously, "We have met the enemy and he is us." The curse that comes usually comes because of something we've done. The second interpretation is the curse that comes has a reason, has a purpose on the part of our Creator and God. So let's think about this virus right now, the coronavirus. By the way, I brought two messages a few weeks back that I entitled "The Coronavirus, What's God Got to Do With It?" I hope you'll take time to listen to them. You can hear them on Ustream, the letter U, stream, like a stream of water. And you can go to Sermon Audio and type in my name, William Sasser or Bill Sasser, and it'll bring up these messages. And you can either watch them on video or you can listen to them on audio. Now let's think about this coronavirus in light of what I'm saying. It is said that perhaps the coronavirus is the result of an accident in a laboratory in Wuhan, China. But let me ask you this. What's behind that accident? Suppose someone wanted that accident to happen and arranged for it to happen. Suppose the devil was behind the person who wanted the accident to happen. But I want you to know something, and I want you to listen to what I have to say this morning. The Lord is behind the devil, and he often uses him, in spite of himself, to accomplish his sovereign will, as well as other people. Don't believe me? Listen to a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. If you have a Bible, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, regarding the cause of the death of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. What caused the death of Jesus Christ? There's an old song that asks this question. Who killed Jesus many years ago? Who was guilty of a crime so low? Who was behind the death of Jesus? Was Herod behind the death of Jesus? Yes, he was. Was Pontius Pilate behind the death of Jesus? Yes, he was. How about the Jews? Well, yes, they're the ones that arrested him and turned him over to the Romans. Were the Romans behind the death of Jesus? Yes, they were. They were the ones who actually crucified him. How about Judas? Was he behind the death of Jesus? Of course he was. He betrayed him. How about the devil? Yes, the devil was behind the death of Jesus. At the Last Supper, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus made known to his disciples, "One of you will betray me." And they all began asking, "Is it I?" And John, who was sitting next to him, said, "Lord, who is it?" And the Lord said, "The man that dips the sop, the piece of bread, into the soup, into the soup liquor, we call it, that is the one." Immediately Judas came up and dipped his hand in there while Jesus dipped his bread in the pot liquor, as we say, while Jesus had his hand in there. And the Bible says, Jesus said to Judas, "What thou doest, do quickly." And then the scripture says that the devil entered into Judas. So was Herod behind the death of Jesus? Yes. How about Pontius Pilate? Yes. The Jews, yes. The Romans, yes. Judas, he was behind it. The devil was behind it. We must admit that all these and others caused the arrest and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this question. How did Jesus happen to come into this world in the first place? Have you thought about that? What was behind that? What was behind the birth of Jesus? Did not the Father send him? And why did he send him? Did he not send him to die for his people? Did not the angel say to Joseph, your wife Mary will have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people? Not he'd like to, he hopes to, maybe he will. He shall save his people from their sins. He will say, so you see, behind all of this, and I'm going to read this passage from Acts 4 in just a moment, behind all of this is God. I keep telling you, nothing happens in God's world without his knowledge, his permission, or his direct order. And he has always used, if you read the Bible, he has always used people, even enemies, to bring to pass his purpose in history. Now listen to this passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4, and tell me who caused the death of the Son of God. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now that's Herod and Pontius Pilate, and that's the Jews, and that's the Romans, and that's everybody gathered together against the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, Acts 4, verse 27. For it is true that against your holy child Jesus, whom you anointed. Anointed means the Christ. The word Christ and Messiah comes from a word that means to anoint. So Jesus was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. It's true against your holy child Jesus, whom you anointed. Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, that's the Romans, and the people of Israel, that's the Jews. They were gathered together. Now, what were they gathered together for? Well, they got together all in the death of Christ. Nobody was holding a gun to Herod's head or Pontius Pilate's head. Nobody was holding a gun to the head of the leader of the Jews. They were all gathered together. Listen to the 28th verse, Acts chapter 4. They were all gathered together, Acts 4, verse 28, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. My friends, it is God himself who is behind the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The curse, you can look at Jesus as a man. In fact, the Bible says that people looked at him when he hung on the cross and they said, this man is under a special curse. A man that has been dying like this and being beaten like he was beaten and then being crucified, he's under a special curse. He's done something especially bad. Now, when you read a verse like that, that Acts 4 passage, and I could share many others with you, you tell me, according to the Bible, who caused the death of Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us in the 53rd chapter of his book of Isaiah that God himself was the one who turned Jesus over to those who hated him. That it was God the Father who sent his Son into the world. That it was God the Father who put his Son to grief. That it was God the Father who made his Son an offering for sin. That's all in Isaiah chapter 53. Read it for yourself. Out of the tragic life and death, I might even say, if I were looking at it and didn't know the whole story, out of the murder of Jesus has come the greatest blessing the world has ever known, the salvation for the people of God. God wrought the salvation using a bunch of bad people who didn't know anything about it. Herod, Pontius Pilate, those Jewish leaders, those Roman leaders, and the devil himself. He used all of that to carry out his will, his plan, his purpose, to put him on the cross in order to bring salvation to his people that he purposed to save. And we may say the same thing about this virus, this coronavirus. I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I'll tell you this, the will and the purpose and the glory of God is in some way behind all of this, either by permission, by direct command, or by eternal decree. And you can say it was an accident. You can say that the accident was deliberate. You can say that the devil was behind the accident. You can say that somebody else was behind it. But I assure you that there are no accidents with the Lord God Almighty. You might make mistakes and I might make mistakes, but there are no accidents with God. As I've said many times, what God does, he does on purpose. And if he does it on purpose, he does it for a purpose. If he does it for a purpose, he does it to fulfill his purpose. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good? All things work together for good. To those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I assure you, there are no accidents with God Almighty. No curse comes without a cause, and no blessing comes without a cause. Now, there could be a bit of humor here, because we often blame events, all of us do, events that don't agree with us, we blame these things on other things, even inanimate or lifeless objects. For example, have you ever fussed at a traffic light because it turned red before you got there? Have you ever sat in your car cursing a traffic light because that thing turned red? Have you ever cursed food when you dropped it on your newly cleaned suit or dress? Ever kicked the door because you slammed it on your hand or your foot? Many years ago, when my son was a small boy, he blamed a door for hurting him when he ran into it. And as he was kicking and beating and screaming at the door, his mother happened along, and when she understood what he was doing and why, she sat him down and tried to make him understand that it was not the fault of the door, it was his own fault. Now, we've all had this sort of experience. I would remind you that the curse or the blessing does not come without a cause. The curse causeless shall not come, nor shall the blessing come without a cause. So let's think about this in terms of trouble. I think of an old song that began, if you're looking for trouble, you've come to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, look right in my face, because I'm evil. My middle name is misery. I'm evil, so don't mess around with me. My friend, anyone who's looking for trouble will eventually find it. As Solomon ought to know, he says that he learned all of his troubles had a cause on his part. That's what he's saying. The curse causeless shall not come. He said that out of experience. And in his book of the Proverbs, Solomon tells us what he has learned. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon's great wisdom is on full display. But in his book of Ecclesiastes, which I've taught at Grace Church, taught through the entire book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us all the things he did and how he learned that he himself, though the wisest man who ever lived, had become a fool. He learned how not to do things so as to bring a curse. And perhaps this is why he wrote this proverb. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. At certain times in his life, Solomon was like a wandering bird. He got into trouble because of it. He ended up badly. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Only a fool would have 700 wives. And to make matters worse, his wives were foreign princesses. pagan women who worshipped other gods. His wives included Pharaoh's daughter, women of Moab, women of Ammon, women of Edom, Sidon, women from the Hittites. All of these were heathen women, pagan women who worshipped other gods. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 11 that his wives turned his heart away from the Lord when he was old. Let me read it to you. This is what it says. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. My friend, any bird which wanders around too much is likely to get itself in trouble with a predator of some sort, whether in the form of another animal, which might be a natural enemy or a trap, or even in the sights of a hunter's gun. And the same goes for the swallow. A bird which flies here and there is more likely to find trouble than one which stays near its nest. Wouldn't you agree? I've seen many an animal, and I'm sure you have too, dead in the middle of the road because it tried once too often to cross it. Solomon reminds us that curses do not cause themselves. They don't wander around like a wandering bird or fly over us looking for a place to land like a swallow. There are no wandering or flying curses. Curses do not walk on their legs or crawl on their bellies or set traps for the unwary. That is to say, curses do not come without a cause. And this is as sure a principle as God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a principle in the New Testament. Those who are under the blood of Christ, I think, are delivered from the ultimate punishment from that, reaping what we sow. But in life, you can still reap some things that you sow. The curse causeless shall not come may be expressed by an old axiom: there's a cause for every effect. Every action has a reaction or a consequence. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, we always reap what we sow unless the Lord intervenes. If we are in the wrong place at the wrong time, and yet we escape with our lives, it's not because we were lucky. It's because the Lord prevented the curse from falling on us. Some of you may have heard of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who certainly was not a Bible-believing Christian, he said that the law of cause and effect is the law of laws. Ralph Waldo Emerson had enough natural insight to see and understand that the most important lesson involving human conduct and interaction is what we might call the cosmic law of cause and effect. Even humanists believe this law, in spite of the fact that humanists deny the existence of a sovereign creator, in spite of that, they confess that nothing happens by chance or outside the universal laws. The New Age culture that has invaded the United States is nothing else but the Western expression of the Hindu and Buddhistic Eastern thought. And they talk about karma. Have you heard that? Willie Nelson wrote a song and recorded a little bit of karma coming down. Well, what is karma? The textbook definition of karma is, I wrote it down here, the sum of a person's action in this and previous states of existence that caused their fate in future existences. In other words, the Hindus and the Buddhists and others, the New Agers, believe that you've lived here before and that you're going to live here again. The idea is if you are a good boy or a good girl in your last life, you'll be rewarded when you come back with a better existence in your next life, and so on, and it'll get better until you become one with God. What about when a person curses another person? Well, a curse of this sort is powerless. It's powerless to hurt the victim literally, But it may do another sort of damage. It may damage or injure a person's spirit. But it is, as far as the body is concerned, it is as harmless as the bird that flies over our head and then disappears. All the bird can do is cast a shadow, but a shadow has no substance in it any more than a curse has a substance in it. Now, I have two lessons I'd like for you to learn in concluding this lesson from all of this. And the first lesson is this. No one and no thing can curse what God has blessed. I want you to remember that. No one and no thing can curse what God has blessed. Have you ever read the book of Ephesians? Well, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I want you to know that if you are in Christ Jesus, by the grace of God through faith, if you're under the blood, if Christ is your Lord, your Savior, your hope, your Redeemer, I want you to know this, that no matter what happens to you, no one and no thing can curse you, because nothing can curse what God has blessed. Well, we must learn this. And all we need to be doing is trusting the Lord and by His grace walking in obedience, because we can't be cursed no matter what happens. Now we read in the Bible of a king named Balak. Read about him in Numbers chapter 22. And he was terrified of Israel. He heard about them coming out of Egypt, this great, huge number of people. He was terrified of them. And Balak was the king of Moab, and he was so afraid of Israel that he hired a prophet, so-called, named Balaam, to curse Israel. I said, you can read this in Numbers chapter 22. But Balaam found out that he couldn't even pronounce a curse upon Israel because the Lord would not allow it. And so the prophet went back to the king and he said, I can't curse this people because the Lord has blessed them. And what the Lord has blessed, I can't curse. And it's the same with you and the same with me if we're in Christ. My friend, we aren't lucky. In every event in your life, there's no luck involved. You're blessed by the Lord. He has prevented the curses. When Goliath the giant cursed David, he said, you come to me, boy, and I'm going to feed you to the birds this day. And David said, yeah, you come into me in the name of your gods. I'm coming to you in the name of the living God. And Goliath cursed David. But that curse didn't have any power on David. It was like a bird flying overhead because David was the Lord's chosen. He was blessed. And it was the Lord who gave David the courage that he had. It was the Lord, when David threw that stone, it was the Lord that guided that stone to hit that giant here, the only vulnerable place open that would kill him. Guided that stone in David's sling to kill that giant. And when David was older, and when he was the king of Israel, there once came a time when David had to abandon Jerusalem to escape the wrath of his own son, Absalom. And as David was leaving Jerusalem, a man named Shimei cursed David. One of David's guards said, you just give me permission, I go take his head off. What was David's attitude regarding Shimei and his cursing? What should you do when people curse you for being a Christian? He told his guard, listen now, these are the words of David, let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, why have you done so? That's all in 2 Samuel chapter 16. See, David didn't believe in luck. He believed that his God was somehow involved in all of this. And David had done some wrong things. In fact, this is part of the punishment, the chastisement that came upon David because he took another man's wife. The Lord told him, I'm going to raise up rebellion in your own family. And his own son, Absalom, was going to kill David if he could have gotten his hands on him. So David had to leave Jerusalem. And that's why he said what he said. He said, the Lord told him to curse me, just let him curse. He believed that his God was involved somehow in everything in his life. But did that curse hurt David? No, I don't think so. In Psalm 109, beginning in verse 28, this is what David said. Let them curse, but Lord, you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant, that's David, let your servant rejoice. Let my adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. What does that mean? Well, it means that David trusted in the Lord for blessings regardless of who cursed him. You know, it was Job who said, after all of the problems he suffered, it was Job who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we must do the same. Perhaps we may be cursed for following our Savior. But guess what? Our Savior pronounced a blessing upon us when men curse us because we follow Him. You can read it, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That is, you're following me and they're telling a lie. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The prophets weren't popular. You read Hebrews chapter 11 about Isaiah being sawn in two. He was sawn in two because he preached the word of God. And so here we see that the Lord can turn a curse into a blessing. No one can curse what the Lord has blessed. All we need to do is trust and obey. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, bless them that persecute you, bless them, and do not curse them. The longer I live, the more I understand that often the curse returns upon the head of the one who uttered it. The sparrow or the swallow may wander and fly for a while, but eventually it's going to return to its nest, just like a boomerang does. And in the same way, the curse that is without cause from the Lord can return to the one who said it. The old commentator John Trapp said this. He said, cursing men are cursed men. When we do have trouble, it's usually because we aren't walking in faith, walking in obedience, walking with the Lord, trusting the Lord. For example, the idea of trouble, a problem that has a cause on our part, may be applied in practically every area of life. If we find ourselves in financial trouble, more often than not, there's a very practical cause for it. It usually involves handling money unwisely. I've known many persons who made more money than most folks could earn in two lifetimes, but they lived the last years of their life in poverty and they died broke. The curse of poverty didn't come upon them without a cause. No, the cause came because of what they did. The curse caused us shall not come. And the same may be said, for many health issues, heart attack, stroke, often caused by an unhealthy lifestyle. Now, I know there are exceptions to this rule, but they are just that. They are exceptions. The curse causeless does not come. If we carry too much weight on our frames for too long, we can damage our joints. Could you say hip replacement? Or knee replacement. Now, I believe that folks who don't take care of themselves, as they should, I believe they can go to heaven. Man asked me one time, he said, Brother Sasha, you believe if I smoke, I can go to heaven? I said, you might get there a lot sooner. I don't think it has anything to do with you going to heaven, but I do think it has something to do with your stewardship. I think it has something to do with your health. And none of us is a perfect steward. We're saved by grace through faith, not by our works. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the only perfect steward. But this doesn't mean that we won't suffer consequences of continually doing wrong things. The rule is, the curse causeless shall not come. And we must learn to be good stewards of all the Lord has given us, our minds, our bodies, our money, everything we have. But though we bring much suffering and sorrow on ourselves, We cannot be cursed if we are hiding in Christ Jesus. He's the blessed one, and all who are in Him are blessed. Now, the second and final thing that I want us to learn is this. I want us to learn this, that we have a causeless salvation. We did not cause our salvation by an act of our will about something we did or did not do. Romans chapter 9, 15 and 16 says, He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it, the salvation, the mercy, is not of him that wills, it's not of him that runs, but it's of God that shows mercy. Now remember, I said at the beginning of this message that the curse causeless does not come, and also that the blessing does not come without a cause. So let me try to explain very quickly. The folks at Grace Church have heard this many times, but it won't hurt to hear it again. First, we must ask and answer a very important question. Was Jesus hated? Well, you know He was. So what was the cause of the hatred for Jesus? Well, the Bible says, and you need to read this for yourself, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, read verse 18 through 25. And there Jesus told the disciples, look, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love you, because the world loves its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world hates you. And then He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they'll do unto you for my name's sake, because they don't know him that sent me. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have had any sin. But now they don't have any cloak for their sin. What Jesus said, stripped them naked and made them see that they were sinners. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not come and done these things among them, they would have had no sin. But now they have both seen me and hated both me and my Father. And listen to this now. But this comes to pass, their hatred for me, Jesus said, comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled as written in their law, they hated me without a cause. So, was Jesus hated? Why was He hated? He said He was hated without a cause. What does that mean? That means there was no cause in Him for the hatred, but there was a cause. The cause was in the depraved, wicked hearts of the men who hated Him. Now, the Greek term used here is the word dorion, and it means without a cause. So now let's turn our attention to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 1 says the Gentiles are sinners. Romans chapter 2 says the Jews are sinners. Romans chapter 3 says all of us are sinners. And in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 23, we have a description of all men by nature. He tells us that we're all sinners. Now we ask this question, what has the Lord done for us? Now here's what it says in Romans 3:24. It says, He has justified us freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now you see that word freely, justified freely? It is the same word, dorion, translated without a cause in John 15:25. Jesus was hated for no cause in Jesus. The cause was in those who hated Him. We are justified freely, that is, for no cause. We are justified for no cause in ourselves. The cause of our salvation, the cause of our justification, the cause of our redemption is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God who set forth His own Son as a propitiation, a mercy seat offering. And it's through faith in Christ, through faith in His blood, that we have the righteousness that we have and the remission of sins through the forbearance of God. Paul says, I'm telling you, your righteousness is not something that was caused by you in any way. It was caused by the Lord God Almighty. No cause in us. Same word used, dorion, as used in John 15:25. Now, are you in Christ? Then the cause of your salvation is not in you. It's in Him. Now, my friends, there is a curse on this old world. there's a curse, and there's a curse that's coming, and this virus has been a curse. And there's only one place that cannot be cursed. One person who cannot be cursed, that's God's Son, can't be cursed, and those who are hiding in Him by faith. If you're in Him, all things will work for your good. Every curse that comes against you will prove to be a blessing, because the Lord has blessed you for the sake of His Son, in whom you trust. Look, if He takes me out of here, I still win. I go to be with Him. If you're not in Him, however, you're living under condemnation. No matter how well you may think you're doing, you are living under the curse of God if you've not come to the Son of God. Finally, listen to the blessing and the curse. Everybody knows John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. But how many people have read John 3 and verse 36? The blessing is in John 3:16. Listen to this. John 3:36. "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life." That's the blessing. "But he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." That's the curse. If you're in Christ, you can't be cursed. If you're out of Christ, you can't be blessed. My friend, run to Christ. Get to Him before the sun sets today. In Him are all blessings. In Him are all the blessings of God that come, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you. Good day.